pray. Father, we thank you that you are the speaking God. You don't leave us just to guess what you're like or what you've done in this world. And we pray now that as we turn to your word, you would open it to us, that your spirit who inspired it would help us to understand it and to see more of your purposes. And we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Do sit down. Well, there are certain news stories which especially capture people's imaginations. And one example is what happened in Chile in the second half of 2010. 33 miners were buried in the notorious San Jose mine. The men were trapped in an unstable mountain 2,300 feet underground in 90 degree heat with food and water to last just 3 days. Well, remarkably, every man survived for 69 days. After weeks of drilling an escape shaft, while the entire world watched, all 33 men were brought safely to the surface on the 13th of October. A winching operation was used, which lasted nearly 24 hours. Now, those captivating events, which surely we all remember, have recently been made into a film, which in Spanish is called Los 33, the 33. Now, we all love to hear a heartwarming story of rescue. And maybe that's because most of us can relate to a situation where we have felt trapped or endangered, but somehow find a way of escape or deliverance. Well, perhaps this is one of the reasons why our Bible reading this morning, Psalm 40, is a favourite of many, including one of the world's best-selling groups of all time, U2, who back in their heyday released a pop version of the psalm simply called 40. Well, do turn to Psalm 40. It's in those black church Bibles on page 561. Page 561. Now, King David, who we're told is the author of this psalm in that little title, just in the small font before the main text begins, he proclaims, verse 1, "I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure." See, David has had an experience of deliverance. He had, figuratively speaking, been trapped in a destructive pit. He had been bogged down in the mire. But his situation had been transformed. David had been rescued from this spiritual pit and bog so that he now stands on solid ground and can walk securely. Now, this rescue did not come about by chance. It was as he waited patiently for the Lord. It happened as he cried out to God. It was the Lord God himself who rescued David. It was him who had provided safety and security. Now, when we read the psalm through, we can see that David seems to call to mind what had happened in the past. He drew me up from the pit of destruction out of the miry bog, because he's in need once again. David looks back to this experience of deliverance because it seems he requires another deliverance. Verse 12. "For evils have encompassed me beyond number. My iniquities have overtaken me, and I cannot see. They are more than the hairs of my head. My heart fails me." David is under great pressure. His own sins are many, and he feels spiritually weak. Now, what's more, he has enemies who are after him, people who deride him and desire him harm. Verse 13, "Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let those be put to shame and disappointed altogether who seek to snatch away my life. Let those be turned back and brought to dishonour who delight in my hurt. Let those be appalled because of their shame who say to me, aha, aha." So David, in his current situation, remembers how God has delivered him before. He remembers how God has delivered his people in his mighty acts and wonders, especially the great deliverance from Egypt and rescue through the Red Sea that is called the Exodus. And he takes encouragement from God's very character as the rescuer. And given these things, he can stand firm in the present. So verse 4, blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not turn to the proud, to those who go astray after a lie. You have multiplied, O Lord my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts toward us. None can compare with you. I will proclaim and tell of them, yet they are more than can be told. Now what we have here is something that is reflected in something of a classic pattern in the book of Psalms. That is looking back to God's great saving acts in the past and recalling the way that he has revealed his saving character so that the believer can receive encouragement for the present and for future challenges and see their faith built up. Now, of course, that is why Jesus gave us Holy Communion, which we share this morning. We look back to the rescue from sin and death that Jesus has won on the cross, so that we receive assurance and confidence now and as we look ahead. Well, David says, verse 16, but may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation, your rescue, say continually, great is the Lord. As for me, I am poor and needy, but the Lord takes thought for me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God. Now, recalling God's great deliverance leads to praise. Verse 3, he put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. See, God has intervened into David's situation and made it new. So David has new songs to sing to God in gratitude. Now, as we recall God's deliverance today as believers, it is appropriate and in some senses natural to praise God in prayer and praise. And it's one of the reasons why we meet together as a church community, so that we can encourage one another to pray to God and to praise him corporately. Now, recalling God's great deliverance means his people are to live for him in faithful service. We're to praise him because of what he's done for us. We're to live for him because of what he's done for us. So verse 6, in sacrifice and offering you have not delighted, but you have given me an open ear. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me, I delight to do your will. O my God, your law is within my heart. This is a reminder here, isn't it, that God is less interested in the externals of religious rituals, like in David's day, animal sacrifices, as he is with his people's desire to live for him. Truly experiencing the deliverance of God and his rescue leads to change. No one is left the same. The call of the good news of Jesus is to come as you are, but then to be positively transformed, to be more what we were made to be. Well, David also knows that his experience of deliverance will point others to the God of deliverance, to the saving God. Verse 3, many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. You see, God is the God of salvation, of rescue. And that is the key truth that everybody needs to grasp. Now, for those of us who are recipients of God's undeserved salvation, we then become his agents, his messengers, to let others know what is available for them. So David can say, verse 9, I have told the glad news of deliverance in the great congregation. Behold, I have not restrained my lips, as you know, O Lord. I have not hidden your deliverance within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your steadfast love and your faithfulness from the great congregation. Well, we too need to encourage each other by coming back to the deliverance we've experienced through the gospel, and together as a church community to do all that we can to make that known to others. Now, this is perhaps a good moment to share an exciting opportunity that's coming up for us here at All Saints Church. Over the May Day weekend in April and May, we're looking forward to a team from Oak Hill College, led by our former parish assistant Rob Turl. They're coming to spend time with us and some other parishes in the West Hull area. And it's all under the title of 316 in 2016, referring to the great summary of the gospel in that Bible verse in John 3:16. Now, this team of trainee ministers and trainee youth workers have quite a bit of experience in helping churches to look to share the good news with their friends and neighbours. Now, we'll be sharing more information in the coming weeks, but the weekend is to include events where we can invite friends and neighbours to come along. So we've got plans for a men's breakfast, a girls' night out type event, a youth event, Sunday services in church, a sports meeting and a family fun day on the bank holiday. So do please include this weekend in your prayers and be thinking about who you know who you could perhaps invite and who would like to come. There's also a special evening which the blue leaflet speaks about, which is to introduce the weekend and to encourage us that we might better, in David's words here, tell the glad news of deliverance and speak of God's faithfulness, salvation, and steadfast love. Well, over these last few weeks, as we've been looking at some psalms, we've seen how they are not just poems and hymns which speak for us and to us as believers, but that they are very much songs of Jesus. And Psalm 40 is no exception. Psalm 40, though 1,000 years old when Jesus was using it, would have been something Jesus was very familiar with. He would have prayed these very words as he grew up. And it would have been a psalm that would have given him very appropriate words when facing the opposition and difficulty that he encountered in his life and ministry. Now, the New Testament writers also saw Psalm 40 as being clearly about Jesus. The writer to the letter to the Hebrews, in encouraging his listeners to keep believing in Jesus despite the pressure that they were under to return to their previous lives without him, speaks of the superiority of the new covenant agreement that Jesus brings compared to the old covenant practices. In chapter 10 of his letter, we hear how the Old Testament was but a shadow of the good things to come, instead of the true form of these realities. And this means that the Old Testament sacrificial system was very limited. These things were offered continually every year. But whilst they had value as a reminder of the seriousness of sin and the need to receive forgiveness from God, in fact, we're told, it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Well, the writer then says, consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, and then he quotes our Psalm 40, sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book. So here we encounter Jesus, the perfect believer who always kept God's law. Jesus, the completely faithful Son who always listened to God's word and did God's will. Jesus, the promised Messiah who fulfilled God's Old Testament message. So Jesus did away with the old covenant regulations in order to establish something new and vastly superior. So Hebrews 10 goes on, when Christ said, you have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices or sin offerings, he added, behold, I have come to do your will, and by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. So you see, through Jesus and his death on the cross as a perfect sacrifice, a sacrifice offered at one time for all who would believe in him, there is true deliverance. Jesus has made his people holy and acceptable to God, sanctified and assured of eternal life. And that is what we dwell on as we share bread and wine in Holy Communion this morning. Well, stories of deliverance are always heartwarming, like that of those 33 Chilean miners. But it is here in Jesus that true rescue and deliverance comes. You see, we cannot rescue ourselves spiritually. We cannot do religious duties or offer anything to win God's approval. But God, through Jesus, has done all that is necessary to deliver us from the destructive pit of sin and the miry bog of death and hell. It is because of Jesus that we sing praises to God. It is because of Jesus that we seek to serve God. It is because of Jesus that we want to share God's deliverance with others, that they might receive it through him too. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for Jesus who fulfills it. We thank you that you have brought deliverance to us as needy, helpless people through Jesus and what he has done. And we pray that you would strengthen us in him. Help us this morning as we think on his death in our place for our sins. And strengthen us by your Spirit, that we might be those who too speak of your deliverance and do not hold back the truth of the gospel. And we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.